Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Colin, and I play Kewin de Greymont, a paladin from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric also from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I play Ogvar Shorefoot, a ranger from Kessig.
Hi, my name is Samantha, and I play Elora Greyvale, a sorcerer from Nephalia.
Setting the scene from episode 90. A battle broke out once more, this time with an ornate but overly sticky strong box. Elora's enemy had her grappled firmly in its grasp, promptly introducing her to the intricacies of stonework as the mimic mercilessly slammed her senseless. Esther endeavoured to help, but it was Ogvar that outclassed the opponent by piercing its pupil with pinpoint precision, furiously trouncing the trunk. Gems were gathered, and so was a shiny stash of platinum pieces that had been pilfered previously from the church coffers. The heroes were happy to have seemingly settled the score, and were anxious to do a disappearing act so they could repatriate the reclaimed relics to their rightful resting place. However, as things transpired, they discovered the extent of Axum's entanglement and clandestine collaborations with the cursed clan of cultists. Our still smarting sorceress, who was by now sporting one big bushy brow, took a fancy to a fine floor covering, but, after bundling it out of the window to the balcony below, gave it up as a bad job before beating a hasty retreat. Rapidly retracing their steps, they made their way to be welcomed back at base, and with barely a dry eye in the holy house, the cathedral's faithful family were overwhelmed, and with the companion's objective completed, everyone had cause for celebration. Episode 91, Holy Hangovers and Tardy Transcripts.
Okay, so for the rest of the evening, unless there's anything specific you want to do, you will be engaged in a party of minimal proportions, but it is a party nevertheless. So is there anything anybody wants to do specifically throughout the evening?
Now, you said Sato was there.
Yes. Sato is still there.
Kewin is going to walk up to Sato and say, Sato, have you ever seen a sword like this before? And he's going to take that big, extra large sword that he got off of the suit of armour.
The one that's been dragging on the floor behind you for the last 2 hours.
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay, so you show the sword to Sato and he goes, ah, yes. Big sword. Yes. It is a beautiful sword, but just a big sword.
Right, okay.
We've got the bits of armour to inspect as well, haven't we?
Well, we didn't take it.
Yeah, we took the gauntlets.
We took the gauntlets, the boots and the helm.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll ask him a bit later.
Who had those, just out of curiosity?
We put them in all of them. So, should we get them out and have a look at them?
Ogvar's gone to find Ruth.
Oh, Ogvar's left.
We'll have to wait for Ogvar to get back, I think.
Yeah. Why does he always chase the women? What is it with him?
I tended to find that actually the women sort of found him. They tend to speak to him. He's very pleasant.
Well, he's a good looking guy, but.
He is.
With one eyebrow.
I mean, I thought he was spoken for.
Okay, so it's. Obviously, Ogvar, you've gone to find Ruth.
So he's followed off in the direction that she went, and he's got the book in the one hand, and then I assume she's... Did you say she went downstairs? Or
Or... Yeah, she went to. She said she was going to the kitchen.
Okay, so Ogvar goes down to the kitchen and gets to like the door, but not quite through the door. And he kicks off his Leap of Faith boots, so he's just there in his socks with his spudders poking through, and goes into the kitchen with the book in the one hand and the Leap of Faith boots in the other, and walks in and goes, "Excuse me, Ruth. I've been sent down here by Gearhart. There's some documents here that hopefully prove Axum's guiltiness and his involvement with the Skurstag cultist. And also, I would like to return the boots that you very kindly lent me. They were very useful. Thank you." And just pops them down on the table.
Ruth turns around, looks at you. She's been crying a little. You can tell they're tears of joy. She looks happy. She sniffs slightly and smiles at you. She goes, thank you, dear. Yes, documents. I suppose Gerhard will probably want to look at them tomorrow.
Yes, he didn't seem very interested in them tonight.
No, he wouldn't. Boots, we'll talk about things tomorrow, dear. We'll have to have a bit of a meeting, I think, and sit down and discuss what you found and everything else. So you are more than welcome to keep them for now. We can talk about everything tomorrow. Unless you wish to go padding around in your socks, I don't mind.
Oh no, I'm not quite as bad as Sato. And the holes in the socks aren't very pleasant, so I'll pop them back on for now. And, you know, might be able to do a party trick with it later.
She smiles. She goes, would you mind giving me a hand with this food upstairs?
Oh, of course, no problem. What do you want me to carry?
So she brings out, and she's got kind of big trays full of food, and then she starts ferrying it upstairs. You give her a hand, and it gets to the point where all of the items on the table, she tasked a couple of the Cathars to clear them off. Probably Alia and Hall and Gwen. They just help to carry stuff off. And the food, the table clears of magical items and fills up with food instead and alcohol. And there's quite a vibrant and bright feel to the room. One of the Cathars pulls out a lute from somewhere and begins strumming on the lute. And it gets, you know, you get some of these songs which are clearly crowd favourites, and you know, everyone joins in, and Colbean joins in with his gaze, singing away. And boom!
He's not doing the pyrotechnics for the show then.
Everyone make me a spot check. Make me a, spot check.
Here we go.
Okay.
That's a 10 all in from Allura.
19 for Ogvar.
15 for Qin.
16 for Kano.
Yeah, with the exception of Allura, you all see it at some point in the evening. Colbean gets out something which he fiddles with a little bit, and then he gets like a little match which he flicks and lights with his finger, and then Ruth pours a cup of mead over him, putting out the fire. You assume that he was probably going to set off something a little bit boom, but was prevented. The entire atmosphere is really lively, and as the night goes on, you see Gerhardt, and he's face down in a pile of pig. He's fast asleep. He's just fallen asleep in his food. And you know, you see these Cathars, they're getting a bit rowdy, you know, they're jostling each other around. Ruth's had a bit to drink, and you know, she's relaxed a bit, let down her hair, both figuratively and literally. She's, you know, taken her hair out of a tight bun. You know, and everyone seems to be having a really lovely time. And, you know, as the evening wears on, obviously it simmers down a little bit, more alcohol is being ingested, and, you know, people begin to kind of tap out and, like, I'm going to bed now. Until it's really just kind of left. It's probably about midnight by the time everyone's gone. And Ruth's been kind of waking people up and shivving them off to bed and whatnot and clearing up. And I'm assuming you're probably just going to settle down for the night and go to sleep, get yourself kind of cleaned up, tidied up, go to sleep.
Yeah,
I think we've earned that, to be fair.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you go to sleep. I mean, Sato, he retires about the same time as you as well. He spent the evening kind of, you know, puffing away on his pipe, imbibing a great amount of alcohol, eating food which isn't even on the table, and regaling some of the younger Cathars with stories which are equal parts fantastical and equal parts unbelievable.
So does he bunk up with us in our dorm? Where does
Sato go? He pads off after you and bunks up in the same room that you're in.
Laura's going to sort of, as she's lying on a bunk, she's just going to turn her head towards him and just look and smile wryly, and then she's just going to turn over and go to sleep, I think.
Yeah, Kewin's going to start taking off the various swords that he's acquired or has. So
keep the noise down, Kewin. Some of us are trying to sleep.
Oh, hold on. There's that one. That's the 5 foot one. There's another one. There's my bastard sword. There's the fancy sword. There's my crossbow.
Caddo, please tell me he's actually talking about weaponry here.
And there's my shield.
I'm not looking.
So as Kewin props everything up against the wall, he swings down, swings round, and accidentally bangs them with his crossbow that he hadn't taken off yet. He forgot he had it on him.
Do they all clatter to the floor?
Making them all clatter to the ground. He goes, whoops!
Oh, for God's sake, Kewin, it's been a long day. Jeez. Can nobody get any sleep round here?
You were out cold earlier.
Yeah, at least I wasn't sleeping on the job.
Oh, don't even go there. You wouldn't have wanted to switch places.
Okay, so you all eventually go to sleep. You settle down, go to sleep. And you can heal up as you would normally. Okay, so you wake up in the morning. And you all feel extremely refreshed and almost like you've gone up a level.
Hey! Oh god.
Okay, so you all wake up in the morning. What are you doing?
Breakfast.
Well, I'm gonna pray.
As ever, I shall go for a pray.
Okay, so Caddo, you go to pray.
And I'll let Pickle out for a wee.
Right, first thing Alora is going to do is she's going to check on Rowan. Just make sure that Rowan is okay after she got swung about. She's not quite sure whether he was in the pouch at the time or not because she didn't check.
You go looking for Rowan and it's pretty easy to find him. He's laid up in the nearest empty tankard of mead.
She's just going to leave him there. He's obviously managing just fine on his own, doing his own thing. So she's just going to leave him. She might retrieve him from the tankard and just do her usual job of shaking him out and just drop him on the side. What she wants to do after breakfast is she wants to go and find... She needs to message her parents because she's been gone about a month now, I think, give or take. And she's not usually away from home so long. They're used to her going on trips and, you know, hopping from one ship to another and going from one cargo job to another working for Casper, but usually they'll know where she is. So if she's gone a couple of weeks, that's no great surprise, but she's been gone much longer, so they will be worrying, as will her brothers. So she wants to find somewhere that she can send a message. Now, I'm not sure how the messages are sent, whether they're through like an actual messenger centre or whether they are through the guild, or what kind of messenger services, whether they have like a speedy private overland service where things get expedited a bit quicker rather than like a messenger going on a horse as opposed to just on a wagon and making various stops.
Pigeon post.
Yeah, more like direct, you know, like a pop.
Okay, so Ogvar, what do you want to do, or what are you doing in the morning?
Ogvar is probably just going to get himself up, washed and dressed and whatnot, and just go downstairs and see who's about from the night before, see if anyone's like fallen asleep on the table, or if it's just business as usual, really.
Yeah, Okay. Kewin, what are you doing?
Kewin's just going to check his armour, pick up all the swords that he knocked over, and walk downstairs, just looking at the big sword that he acquired.
Yep. Okay. So, you'll head downstairs. Caddo, you're probably up first. You've gone, you've done your morning prayers. By the time the rest of you get up and go downstairs and kind of get ready for the day, along with you retrieve your bat from the nearest mug of mead, there's a big fry-up breakfast waiting for you, which Ruth has clearly just gone to town on. And yeah, you see quite a few Cathars. There were a couple missing, presumably still in bed nursing their heads. And the ones that you do see are stumbling around like bears with sore heads. And, you know, you can tell that it's hangover central down here. And a slap at breakfast is exactly what they need, because they all seem to have congregated around the table and just are just... It's a very subdued atmosphere, but not because they're upset or sad, but because they're hungover. So you have a nice hangover breakfast, and yeah, you can get on with your day. So are you all going to stick together, or are you going to split up?
I think in the morning that Alora would, after breakfast, I think she would just take herself off quietly to find... would she? I mean, presumably she's used to being around the city, so she would know where she would be going to send a message, because obviously she's old enough to know how messages are sent. So I'm assuming that she would just go and find wherever the messages are sent from here in Selhoff.
Yeah. So you go off on your own. It's very easy for you to find somewhere to send a message. You know that there are several services, private services, who offer message deliveries. They're not cheap at all. They are very expensive. Yeah. But you will give them your letter, your parcel, whatever they need to be delivered. As long as it's a load that can be carried by a single man, they will take it, and it will be sent via horseback with one of their specialised riders to the destination. For your letter, as it is only a letter, but for your letter to be sent from Selhoff up to Havengol, it is 50 gold.
Okay. She knows that she hasn't really got the choice but to do this, and she needs the letter to get there as soon as possible, so she can't afford to just go on a standard postal wagon that could take weeks to get back up there. Because obviously it's going to Havengol, isn't it? So she would pay the 50 gold for a private messenger to take a message. So what she will do is she'll sit down in wherever it is. Is it like a message centre? Is it like a special like postal guild, or what is it?
Yeah, so it's a little, it's down by the docks. You would have used this service before, perhaps when you were employed by, or during your employment with Casper. He might have said to you, like, you know, when you get down to Selhoff, send me a message as quickly as possible, let me know what's happening, so and so, blah, blah, blah. So you'd have had to use this service before, obviously not at your own expense under those circumstances. But basically all it is it's a very thin, narrow shop. You literally walk in through the front door, and the counter is, you know, 10 foot in front of you. Behind the counter, it's staffed by a young lad, and you can see racks and racks of pigeonholes full of mail, posts, letters, you know, things like that, deliveries which need to go out. You can tell they're all probably local deliveries, things which people like don't really have time to go and do, so they just send it to a point in the city using this service. And this would be a very cheap service normally. But you know that, you know, you give the guy at the counter your letter, your parcel, whatever you need delivered. You say, you tell them where it needs to be gone, the exact address. And then they create like a little postal slip. They give you a little receipt for it. And what happens at that point is they take the letter, the parcel behind the counter, and it goes off, and they actually have people employed who are, you know, ex-warriors, you know, ex-mercenaries. They're very skilled people. They're used to living in the wilds, they're hardy, they're tough. And then that letter will be sent with utmost urgency, literally as soon as it is received, as soon as the next rider is available. They will be given to that rider, they will be given provisions, they will be given a horse, and they will be sent on their way to the location.
Right. She was going in to inquire, obviously, how much it is, because she doesn't know how much the service is, hasn't used it for a while, even for Casper. So she's obviously learned that this is going to be 50 gold pieces for this particular private fast messenger. She's now going to, after that, she's now familiarised herself where it is. She's going to go away and write her letter. Is there somewhere to sit down, actually, in the messenger shop to actually sit and write her letter?
Yeah.
Or would she have to take...
Yes.
There is. Okay.
Well, yes, there's a little bank of tape, like a little bank of, almost like a bar counter against one wall, which has got stools in front of it. There are things like quill pens, and there is paper available. It's like a copper for a sheet of paper, you know, a copper to use the pen and ink. So like two coppers in total if you want to write it then and there. But if you obviously have the supplies yourself, you're more than welcome to write it yourself at no extra cost.
Right, so she'll pay the two copper and she's going to pull up a chair and she'll find herself a quiet corner. I know it's not a big shop, but she'll find herself a quiet corner and she's going to sit down and start composing a letter to her family. That's what she's going to be doing for the next hour or so.
Yep, okay. So you sit down and you write your letter. Okay, so... Queuing Cadam and Ogvar, is there anything you are doing? I'd assume Melora's probably said to you, like, I've got to go and send a letter or whatever. She hasn't just wandered off and left. Is there anything you're doing after breakfast in the morning?
Well, we've got some gems to price up, some bits of armour to price up, and you want to price up your sword, I assume.
Yeah, I thought we were going to share the bit of armour to Sato.
Oh, yeah, that might work.
I think they're in Orland.
Oh, yes, sir. I have them here. I can retrieve them for you. And so Ogvar will present Qin and Kaido with the bits that they scavenged from the...
boots, gauntlets and helmet, I think.
Yeah, you get all that out and say, here you go, guys. And, if your Sato's still around, I'm sure he can help you out with these.
Okay. From behind you, you hear a cracking sound as you're stood there. He goes, a voice from behind you goes, what can I help with? And as you turn around, you see Sato. And the cracking sound is him cracking a raw egg open and then proceeding to slurp it straight out the shell.
Oh,
charming.
Morning to you too.
Morning.
Ogvar's got the, we found these bits. Ogvar's got them. They were part of an animated suit of armour. That's where I got this sword. But apparently the sword isn't much good. Do you want a thing? Is the armour any good? The bits?
So did you pick up all the bits of armour?
No,
we picked up the boots, the gauntlets and the helmet.
Okay. So you show Sato the bits. The helmet, he looks at it and says, reasonable quality. The boots, he looks at again. Oh, yes, very nice boots. Nothing special. The gauntlets. When you show him the gauntlets, where they were previously obviously very shiny, bright silver, very delicately kind of engraved, embossed, beautifully made, with Elora's lightning having run through them, they now have kind of these, almost these anodized lightning streaks and tarnish points all over them, which gives them this very unique look. Sato looks at them, and he takes them, and he inspects them, and turns them over, looks at the finger joints, looks at the patination, opens one gauntlet up, gives it a sniff. He goes, yes, very interesting, these. These are... reasonably newly made, I would say. And I believe... And he puts the gauntlet on. And you're in a stone... You're in a stone room. He punches towards the wall. And from the glove emanates a bolt of lightning. He nods to himself, takes the gauntlets off, hands them back. Yes, I believe that these are reasonably newly made, or newly enchanted. And as you can see, it will create a bolt of lightning. And he gives you a bit of a description of them. And what these are now spark gauntlets. And these gauntlets, when activated, create a single bolt of lightning that deals 3d6 points of damage, reflex save for half, as the lightning bolt spell from a third level caster.
How many times a day?
Once a day. Sato will explain to you that this spell, these gauntlets, when you wear them, yes, they will work by punching, but they will work with any metallic weapon. It will conduct.
Oh, so it's delivered through the weapon?
Yeah. So if you've got a metal hafted mace, it will conduct through the mace. If you have a sword, it will conduct through the sword. If you've got a metal handed axe, it will conduct through the axe. If you have an axe which has a metal strip through the handle to the actual head of the axe, it will conduct through that. As long as the gauntlets are touching a part of the metal which is linked to the blade or the spikes or the actual damage dealing end of the weapon, it will conduct through the weapon.
Would that work the same, just from a mechanical point of view, would that work the same? If you were, say, in a tight spot and you had no weapon on you because you'd been de-armed or whatever, and you grabbed something, I don't know, a shovel, a fire poker, something like that. If it was metal, it would work to deliver it through anything that was metal as long as it ran through the entire shaft of it up to
yes,
the hand.
Yes, it would have all the negatives of an improvised weapon, though.
Right.
But the spell would work the same.
Okay, cool.
So does the weapon have to make contact with the target for the spell to work, or can you just fire it out of the... Oh, right, okay.
No, it has to make contact. And it won't, if it's like a non-conductive metal, it won't work.
Roger. Ooh, I can think of some really good uses for that. Mm. And I don't mean as a weapon.
What, you mean like flash frying your sausages in a frying pan?
That's a Kewin thing.
killing fish in a river.
Yeah. That's a Colin thing.
Defibrillator gauntlets.
Yeah. Or fusing something, if you need to fuse something that's metal, maybe.
But use it like an arc welder.
Yeah. Fuck it, yeah, why not?
Right. And I pass him the sword. Pass him Sato my sword. I said, are you sure this is just a normal, just a large but normal sword?
Yes, very pretty, but normal sword. If a bit big.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's going in the Wotic funds. That would be flogged.
Okay, so, Elora, we left you in the post office writing some letters.
Which she has now written. In fact, she has written two letters. One to her parents, and she has written one to Casper. Would you like to know the contents of those letters?
Yes, please.
Okay, the letter to home is as you would expect. She's written, Dear Mum and Dad, I must apologise for not staying in touch. I should have contacted you sooner to let you know I will be away for a while. I did not mean to cause you worry, but I've been so busy and this was one of my first real opportunities. Casper has released me temporarily into the service of his brother Kewin, who has been tasked with some holy orders of great importance. The mission is complicated, but absolutely essential to complete for the House of Abyssin and for the people of Innistrad. I am travelling with four other adventurers who are extremely capable. They are good people and we're looking out for each other. I hope that when we've achieved our task, you will get to meet them all. As for me, I am well. I have travelled from Gloomrest to Drenau, and currently I am down in Selhof, but our journey will take us further to the very south of Nephalia, and then we will likely head west into Keswick. I am going to be away for some time yet to come, I'm afraid. Please do not worry. Tell Arlon and Rannon not to come looking for me. I miss them both, despite how really annoying they are. I have grown in strength during my journey, and my innate powers have increased quite a lot, and it's amazing how capable I've become. On the downside, Rowan has discovered the joys of mead, which he is taking full advantage. He has become most entertaining, if not completely unruly. Still, on the upside, he now has the beginning, he's beginning to mature at last. I can now converse with him and can connect at a greater distance, which is new and interesting. I do miss you both, and even those dopey brothers of mine. Before you ask, I am feeding myself well and have discovered my many... I've discovered many new culinary delights along my route. However, I can't wait to sit back down for one of your home-cooked meals, Mom. I have so many unbelievable things to share with you all. I'm not sure when I will be in a position to contact you again, but when I am, I will be sure to do so. With much love and huge hugs, Allura. She's also written a shorter note.
Okay.
She's also written a shorter note to Casper. Dear Casper, just a quick update. I met with Kieran at Gloomrest and we have travelled down to Selhoff via Dranau. His task is proving complex. As such, our onward journey will take us yet further south and then across into Kessig. We are all well and are now travelling as a group of five companions. I will contact again when we know more. E.G. And those are the two letters that she is sending. And she's going to stop, I assume it's 50 gold pieces per letter.
Yes, 50 gold per letter.
Okay, I'll stop those off her inventory.
So where is... Oh, that's going to Swaben, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, it'll be another 50 gold.
Yep.
Okay, so you finish writing your letters, you fold them up, you... They have like a common use seal where you know, just you know it's the post office, the postal services seal. And yeah, you hand the letters over, and as soon as you've handed the letters over, they're taken by the young lad behind the counter. He immediately pops them into a satchel. It's a quite a posh looking little leather satchel. Just the perfect size for a couple of letters, a little square looking satchel. And you can see embossed on its pullover lid is the symbol of the postal services. It's got quite like a little crane, like a stork looking creature on it. He pulls a little lever, which as you see it's connected to a wide variety of strings, and you hear from the back of the shop area a bell rings. The bag is then slid quite unceremoniously down a chute behind him and disappears off, presumably to be taken by the courier and taken on its journey to its destination. And your letters are gone.
She's going to thank them and then she is going to disappear off. She is going to make her way back to the church. Because that's where she left the others. Whether they're still there, she doesn't know, but that's where she's going to go. But on her way back, she would like to make a couple of small purchases which are directly related to spell components.
Okay. So you're able to go and grab the bits, the spells, components you need. Are they kind of rare components? Is there anything really unusual in there?
She's got to buy a glass rod, a small glass rod, a small polished glass lens,
yep,
which she can probably get from the yep place that Caddo went to, and 100 gold piece minimum grey pearl.
Yeah, they're all easy enough to get. Okay. You can find them in shops as you pass. Obviously, just deduct the amount for them.
I will do, yeah.
So, back in the church, three of you, Ogvar, Kieran and Caddo, are left. Sato unceremoniously dumps the gauntlets back in your arms and then pads off into the bowels of the church. What are you doing?
All three of us are sort of stood around. Has he popped the gauntlets on the table or into someone's hands?
Oh, yeah, he's probably just shoved them at the nearest person. So, Ogvar, you'd literally just got them out of the bag before he'd have grabbed them. So he probably shoves them back into your arms.
Oh, okay. Ooh, thank you, Sato. See you later. Ogvar will sort of look at him and go, "These are obviously quite useful bits of kit. not for myself, you see, the Gorlitz. I wouldn't be able to pull the bowstring back very well, you see, so... what do you reckon, guys? Back in Orland, or...?
Yeah, put them back in Orland. We can discuss it later.
Okay. There'll be plenty safe enough there. Here you go, Orland. I believe you can look after these for us if you want.
Okie dokie, boss.
Thank you kindly.
And Orland's flap closes back over them. You hear a rattling sound and some vague clunking from within Orland's bag body. Yeah, it sounds an awful lot like someone dropping a set of gauntlets down a stair, down a flight of stairs.
Well, I think I'm going to get rid of a couple of these swords. I'm going to get rid of this great big large great sword.
Do you think you might have too many then?
Yes, and of course I've got to give this one back. It doesn't belong to me.
Okay.
I think two swords is enough.
Okay.
Especially with a crossbow and the two knives and two daggers. And...
Okay.
So that said, a sword that glows when people lie to you might be quite handy, fella.
It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the church here.
Well, true. Yes.
I mean, like, I've got... Well, me and you will have Detect Evil, and she's got her eye. So we should be able to, between the three of us, figure out what's going on, let alone Esther.
Well, yeah, I follow your logic.
Right, I suppose that's this can all be taken care of with our meeting with Ruth a bit later on. I imagine we'll be having this talk when Alora has come back.
I mean, we've got. If you're going to sell the, I can only call it the enormous sword. We can probably sell off those boots and that helmet at the same time, can't we? I don't know if you want to get the gems that we found priced up, or if we're just going to keep them as... It's probably an easier way of carrying currency around, isn't it, in a small gem, rather than carrying around loads of coins?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yeah.
Less clinking when you walk as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't attract the pickpockets.
Although I wish luck to anybody who puts their arm in Orland.
Okay.
Can we buy him a set of those Christmas teeth that you get in crackers, you know? Give Orland a set of teeth.
Christmas teeth that you find in crackers?
Yeah, you know, Christmas crackers with all these gifts and prizes and stuff in them. Like, sometimes you...
I've never seen a pair of dentures in Christmas
crackers. You know the trope of the Christmas teeth.
I had a Christmas cracker once with some of those teeth.
From the previous owner.
Yes, you're all right. We're all looking at her exactly the same way as you're looking at the screen. We've no idea what she's on about.
Well, you never know who works on the production line, do you? They might be due to retire.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I'm not there.
So what's going on around the church at the moment? Are many people around, or are they still all sleeping off the hangovers?
Most of them are nursing a hangover. You see a couple of them drag themselves up. You perhaps see Colbean, strangely energetic for this time in the morning. He wanders past you, and he's a bit dampened, and he wobbles a bit, and he's like, boom! And you see him wander off outside into the back garden, into this where they've got this kind of little garden courtyard, and he drops a bucket of cold water over his head. Shakes like a dog, and disappears off into a different area of the church, possibly to find a towel or something. But most of them are wondering, well, if they have surfaced, they are nursing the worst headache of their life. But the majority have still yet to appear.
Is there any sign of the bishop yet?
The bishop probably turns up, you know, partway through the morning. Probably about 10 a.m. he turns up. He's just walks through the kitchen, see him grab something to eat and just kind of settle himself down by the fire in a big rocking chair. He's got a plate of scran in front of him.
All right. So I'll go walk over to him and good morning, your bishop Nuss.
Morning, whippersnapper.
All went well last night. It was quite the shindig after, and got all your bits and bobs back, so it's all in all a good day's work, I think.
Indeed, Whippersnapper. I believe after lunch, Ruth was intending to have a conversation with us. But until then, I suppose you're free agents, freer than me, certainly.
Oh, yes. Talking of personal freedom, what will happen with Lord Axum now?
Well, that is what we must discuss, I believe, Whippersnapper.
Yes, most definitely. I assume he will. He will not take much to figure out where all his stuff has gone back to. I assume he's a clever man. I've personally not met him, but...
Yes, clever and dangerous.
Most definitely.
However, we shall discuss after lunch, I believe, with Ruth. We need to sort out what we're going to do, and if you could offer some insight, that would be most appreciated.
Okay, no problem. Will the meeting be in the war room?
Oh, yes, always. Yes, as always.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Your Holiness. I'll go tell the others. Enjoy your breakfast.
Yes. delicious.
So, Ogvar will obviously bid him good day, and we'll walk back over to Caddo and Kewin. And, right, I've just had a word with the Bishop, and he says he wants us all to get together and have a bit of a chat with Ruth about the goings on of last night and what to do moving forward. I suppose we should get Laura in on this one as well. It'd be some time after lunch.
Yeah, no problem. I suppose we could pop downtown and sort out what these bits were and put them in the old coffers.
Oh, yes, okay, no problem. We can. The morning is ours by the sounds of it, so we're free to do as we please.
Oh, hi, guys.
Oh, where'd you come from?
Hi. I went to actually send a couple of letters. Are you guys okay?
I believe so, yes.
Didn't miss much then?
No, not really. Say we've got a meeting with Ruth and the Bishop after lunch.
Oh, right, okay.
But that's about it, really. I think Kewin is going back into town and I might as well join him.
Oh, yeah, right, Kewin.
Yes?
I sent a letter to Casper because obviously the last thing was he sent you guys down to find me at Gloomrest, and well, it's been over a month, so I thought I'd better just let him know that we were all okay, yourself included.
Yes, thank you. He's used to not hearing from me for years, for months on end.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I did say to him that we'd just drop him a line when we have more information, so he won't expect to hear from us anytime soon, but I did at least send word that we were all okay.
Yes, brilliant. He knows I'm not really much of a writer. He's seen my handwriting.
You know, something else funny, guys. You know, when I drifted off to sleep last night, which obviously was much needed after being thrown up a wall a few times, which was really unpleasant, I don't know whether I was just like surface dreaming or what, but my mind kept replaying the horror of Ogvar being hurtled through a window off the second floor.
Oh, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but from my perspective it was pretty horrifying. But it was also really quite amazing. It was kind of violent and sudden and, well, very damaging to a humanoid or creature. But it must have been really gratifying for the person that was doing the throwing, I suppose. I guess I started drifting off along that train of thought. Anyway, I kind of, on a subconscious level, when I woke up, I kind of felt that I'd got a new spell, like something new has come to me. Off the back of that. I think that was the inspiration for it, oddly. Anyway, I'm feeling really strong this morning. I feel much better.
boy, if you feel strong, why don't you give Kewin an arm wrestle?
Oh, well, I think that might be a bit beyond me.
No.
He's different. Quite large.
Yes, but...
Are you feeling all right this morning?
I feel okay. I feel well. I feel as a good night's sleep should leave you feeling in the morning. And yes, I suppose I do feel as though I may have come out better from the experience of yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, you take it easy today, all right?
Oh, yes, I will do.
So what's everybody else doing this morning?
We're talking about going downtown and getting rid of this helmet and these boots and this little sword here, and maybe find out how much the emeralds are worth, or, in fact, our satyr. They'll have to walk then.
Oh, you've just reminded me. Yeah, that's another little job that we could do, Ogvar. Or maybe you could do while you were out in town. And she puts her hand in her pocket, shuffles around, remembering from the night before that she'd fumbled around on the floor and picked up two gems. And she pulls them out to have a look at them, and they are two emeralds, apparently, as she looks at them. She's going to hand them to Ogvar, and give them to Ogvar, and she's going to say, I'm going to stop here for a bit and just... take a bit of a rest, because I did take a bit of a battering last night, and although I feel better, I've just been into town and picked up a few things on my way back. Why don't you go and pretty Orland up? Somebody will put those gems onto him.
Oh, I suppose I could, yes.
And tell him, Ogvar. Sorry.
Yes.
Ogvar.
What do you want?
I meant Orland. Orland.
Yeah, what?
I don't know how much more I need to apologise to you, but I've given Ogvar a little task to do, and I'm going to give you a few sparkly things to make you feel special. Ogvar's going to get... Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Ogvar get them fitted for you, and then you'll find out when you've got them. But they're from me, and I am sorry. Oh... I don't want us to fall out.
He says, oh, well, I might forgive you, or I might not. We'll have to see. And he spits out with a half-squashed pastry.
Is it hot or cold? Allura picks it up.
It's tepid.
It's tepid. Allura picks it up, and it sort of sags and bows slightly. And she doesn't really want to eat it, but at this point in time, it's a peace offering. So, okay, thanks, Orland. I'll have that while you guys are out. Thank you very much. Is that the last one?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it might be. There was quite a lot of them. We have got through quite a lot of them. Okay, thanks, Orland. Anyway, Laura's going to go shuffle off, and she's going to go back to the bunk room and just put her feet up for a bit, I think. Just have a bit of a snooze.
Okay, what are the rest of you doing?
Gonna go and.
Ilora's just headed off up to bed.
Yeah, gonna go see if Sato wants to buy these bits, the emeralds. The only thing we had was the emeralds, the great sword,
and the bits of armour,
and the boots and the helmet, wasn't it?
Because
yeah. Everything else went to.
It's better we keep the emeralds as emeralds, because they're actually easier to transport around than cash.
Yeah, but we could find out how much they're worth.
We could at least value them. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll ask old Sato how much these are worth, and if he wants to buy them. He's a fair bloke, and he can at least give us a price on the old emeralds.
Yeah, why not?
What do you think, Arthur?
Oh, yes, we've got to catch him anyway, because I've got to give him back his little ladder.
Oh, yes, that's a good point.
Or big ladder, depending on what you're doing with it at the time.
Very true. He's at the other end of the room. I could give it back to him from here.
Where's Esther?
Still partying.
Have we seen Esther this morning?
Yeah, she was still collapsed in bed when you left. She'd indulged far too much. She made her own version of a Shirley Avison last night, and it was quite strong.
Fair enough.
So, you are trying to find Sato?
Yes, please. Because we got, like Alpha said, we've got to give him his ladder back.
Okay, so you can take a wander around the church. You will find Sato easily enough. He's not making any attempt to hide. You probably see him. He's when you find him. Everyone, make me a search check, please.
14 for Ogvar.
17 for Kiwi.
It'd be a nat 20 for Caddo.
Hey.
Yeah, Caddo. When you find Sato, he's in the library. He's actually squatting on top of one of the bookshelves, eating what appears to be a hunk of cheese with bread.
Fair enough.
But on top of a bookshelf as in up really high?
Yeah, he's about 10 foot off the ground.
But,
just chilling.
Oh, okay.
Eating a bit of cheese and bread.
Ace.
Didn't expect to find you there, Sato, I have to admit. Could you spare us a couple of minutes?
Oh, I'm sure I could. What can I help you with?
Kewin's got a few bits, he just wants to run past you.
Would you say the price of these three bits are? And would you like to buy them? Because you all seem to be a fair bloke. Mm.
A collector of fine artefacts, I believe, is the phrase.
No, I don't think you'd see many of these great swords.
I'd say it's pretty great. Come on, it's...
You get 10 gold knocked off. You get 10 gold knocked off just for that joke.
Come on, it's been a long day.
That was bad. Okay, yeah. Sato very elegantly flips off the top of the shelf and lands silent as a cat in front of you. Looks at the items, because I'm assuming you're probably going to hold them out and just be like, what do you want for these? So you've got, was it the great sword, the boots, the helm?
Well, are we going to show him the emeralds as well?
And then we'll get...
We'll do that separately, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go for the metal items first.
Yeah.
Okay, so, great sword. Starting off with the great sword. He's already looked at it. He knows what it looks like. He knows its condition. He'll offer you, off the bat, for the great sword. 60 gold pieces.
Okay.
The boots. He looks at the boots. 15 gold pieces. The helmet he takes in his hands. He tuts at the damage on it, tuts at the slightly singed feather. 20 gold pieces.
Would you like to buy them off us for that, then?
Oh, why not? 95 gold pieces. Here we go.
Okay.
And he hands you 9 platinum and 5 gold.
Okay. Just as a little quandary here. We've noticed that you've got a very fine eye. How much do you reckon these... I get at one of the emeralds, and I go, how much do you reckon these are worth?
He takes the emerald. He looks at it. He pulls out from God knows where a set of... artisan's tools, by the looks of it. A little glass monocle with, you know, interchangeable glass lenses, which he flicks and flips around in an almost incomprehensible manner. And after a while of inspection and looking at them, he will offer you... he goes, well, trade value. Bit of a profit. 900 gold.
Each?
Which he doesn't know you've got the other 9 yet.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. Well, is that the standard price then, is it? Roughly for this size? Or is it just from you?
I am being gracious. I am being gracious. Most other sellers would ask for or offer less.
Now, yeah, he said for that one.
Each.
No, 900 for that one.
Wow.
So that's 9,000 total.
And I've given him 2 to go and fit on Orland.
Yep. But it's all right, we've got 10 other ones.
I think we should. That's very gracious of you, Sato. But I think I'll need to speak to the ladies first. Because after all, it is all together. You know, I can't make their decision for them.
And Laura won't mind. She just said she can stick 2 on a bag.
I thought that was.
2, you say? How many of these do you have? Exactly.
Well, we've got 10, and I believe Alora gave to Ogver to put on the bag. But I actually...
I regretfully inform you that I will be buying no more than 3 at most.
Oh. Well, in that case, we... I suppose you could take the lot in it, huh?
Yeah, I can't
take
see
a punt at that.
Yeah, I can't see why not.
So we sell him 3 of the 10.
Okay.
For 2,700 GP, or is that 270 platinum?
He'll give you it in platinum, so you don't have to jangle around with loads of change.
Just put it all in all.
270.
Furthermore, I propose a trade. I will trade you one of those emeralds for the ladder, if you so wish.
It was handy, but
Can
we remember how far the ladder went?
You can go as far as you want, really.
It was up to 100 foot, wasn't it?
Was it 200 foot, or was it 100? I'd have to look back, I'll check.
I don't know, that's why I asked.
I'll check, I have got it written down.
It was a long, long way, and it's probably further than I want to go.
200 feet. Up to 200.
Oh, well, that's longer than your bit of stony rope goes, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Although one of the
things... you'll need the top tying off.
One of the things we've recovered is a never-ending rope, isn't it?
Yeah, but that was the church.
Yes, it was an endless spool of rope.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we want a ladder? Do we want a 200-foot ladder? We get one go a day of it, don't we?
It's more than if we don't have it.
Well, true. And it's not like we had the emeralds yesterday.
Well, no, not at all.
I think we should go for it. I could always put these two glass ones in the pouch, or, you know, and sell the proper one to Sato and put these couple of glass ones in the pouch.
Oh, well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with being underhand like that entirely, Qin, but I can't see an issue with buying the ladder for 900 gold pieces. It seems perfectly reasonable.
Well, no, it seems quite a good deal.
Yes, okay, we'll do that then. So that's only got 6 emeralds left.
Only.
Okay, so you hand over, because I believe you gave him the ladder back, Ogvar?
No, I didn't actually, I don't think so.
Not yet,
did you? No, I'd gone to give it him back, but...
Yeah, okay, so you hand over another emerald to him. He tosses it in the air, rolls it between his fingers, and it promptly disappears. He then procures a slip of paper, which he begins to scribble furiously upon, before he cuts the pad of his thumb and plonks a bloody thumbprint on the bottom. He goes, there we go, your receipt. No change, sorry.
What's this then?
Your receipt. Proof of purchase.
For the...
Returns within 30 days.
for the ladder.
Please see terms and conditions.
For the ladder?
It's a receipt for everything. It's for everything you've sold.
Okay.
So everything you've exchanged. So a receipt for the ladder, a receipt for the items. Terms and conditions available at request.
Oh, that's awfully good of you. Don't usually get that. We'll ask Orland to look after that. He's probably best.
Okay, yeah, so Ogvar will... Orland, you have inherited some sort of, like, organisation for keeping documents such as, well, this receipt. Or is it all just going there higgledy-piggledy?
Ogvar's all right, mate. Blech. And as he opens his flap up, you see, almost presented in front of you, a single spike mounted on a block of wood.
Excellent. And Ogvar will just plop it on there.
Yeah, you stab it on, the receipt slides down, and Orland closes with a ka-ching sound.
Wait.
He audibly goes, ka-ching!
One feels that must probably stick in your gullet a little bit.
Don't tempt me to launch it at you. I've done that more than once.
Well, that's worth remembering, actually, if we're getting a bit of a pickle, isn't it? Orland can fire spikes with receipts and things.
Okay,
if you're inside pickle, you should probably get out.
Well, thank you very much for that, Orland. And, okay then, guys, are we heading out, or are we
Well, we've sold everything, so...
Don't need to go out anymore, have we? We've sold what we needed to sell.
Oh, okay, yeah, mate.
We could have a go and have another rest.
Or second breakfast.
Yes. No, what? More food?
Well, second breakfast.
No,
I'm sure if I find Ruth, she'd be able to knock up second breakfast.
I think I'll probably look after my armour.
Okay, well, I'll see you later on. Don't forget the meeting with Ruth and the bishop.
I'll be in the war room, cleaning.
Okay.
And sharpening.
I'll tell you what, I'll find out from Ruth what time she wants to meet whilst I find out about second breakfast.
Okay, sounds good. See you later. And at that, Ogvar will have a little walk outside.
Okay, Ogvar, as you exit the doors of the church, make me a wisdom check, please.
Okay. Oh dear, that's a 3.
Okay.
I'm stupid.
Okay. Right. Okay then. Let's get...
By the sound of it, you were lucky to find the outside.
Just bumped along the wall until I found a door to get out of.
There's a door here somewhere.
He's going out to purchase a white stick.
Does a 17 hit you?
As a new dawn broke, it was not only the Archangel Avacyn that beamed down upon our party, as a benevolent DM bestowed a leap in level, bagging them a bunch of boons. Caddo disappears downstairs to devote himself to his deity, and following a hearty helping of breakfast in the holy household, Laura elects to saunter the Selhoff city streets in search of a postal sending service to fulfil a duty in which she feels she has thus far failed. While the boys dally in a little dubious dealing with Sato, their somewhat strange sidekick, it falls to Ogvar to placate Orland, who has designs of his own as he requests redecoration to make his surface shimmer and reflect his own self-spirit. The vestiges of their veneration now slowly subsiding, the party are relatively relaxed and recuperated, and with the revealing of the darker discoveries of their delve into Axum's private affairs done, surely this would curb the corruption once and for all. However, nobody expects the unexpected. Hey, you made it this far, so lend us your ears for a moment longer if you will. Firstly, we are most humbled that you are enjoying our yarn, and the crew thank you from the bottom of their hearts for your patronage. Producing this podcast is incredibly hard work, and as such, if you would like to support us, there are a few ways in which you could really make a difference. Sharing links to friends and family helps to spread the word, so others like you can find us, and in turn they too can enjoy the show. Equally helpful is leaving a 5-star review on Spotify and any other streaming services, which will help us immensely. Or, if you feel you could go that extra mile and contribute a few coppers to keep our creative juices flowing, you can hop on over to our Buy Me a Coffee page or drop us an email. We would all be immensely grateful for your support in any form. Lastly, we invite you to visit our website, where you will find information on our campaign from backstories to settings. Join our Facebook group or follow us on Twitter. All the links are in our episode bios. Don't forget to smash the subscribe and download buttons so you never miss the next episode. See you all again next week, folks.